It's a debate as old as time.
It's not Taco Bell, but I'm going on a run. I'm getting tacos. What do I sign you up for?
A debate that can tear apart friends and family.
Chicken first, beef.
That's funny.
Oh,
go ahead.
Why is that? Keep going. Okay.
Yes.
A debate that may never come to a conclusion.
This is your version of Google.
What tacos do you like the best? You're going to the same place.
We should find.
You guys are going nuts, right? Because you won't answer the question. What flavors do you like the best from the same place?
It's the Great Taco Debate. For 6 and 12-pack Wine Club members only, comes our first of three exclusive ACS t-shirts designed by Corolla on Paper. The definitive taco ranking t-shirt features chicken, pork, and steak tacos. So you and your friends, even strangers, can have the debate on your own. So head to CorollaDrinks.com today to sign up for your shipment. And remember, chicken is always last. This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get on mandate. Get it on and welcome to the best hour in the Potusverse. I don't know what that means. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Mark Garagus. Where are you, Mark?
I'm sitting in the office as we speak in New York. Just, I was going to say enjoying the spring weather, but it just started to rain. So, you know, but you'll be happy to know that I'm wearing my favorite Tommy John shirt as we speak.
Oh.
Men and women love Tommy John. Scott's happy his double agents aren't going rogue. Melissa's TJs are so light, she worries she'll forget to pull them down in the bathroom. Both men and women's underwear sport a no wedgie guarantee, comfortable stay put waistbands, fabrics that are soft, designed to move with you, dress shirts and undershirts that always stay tucked. Go anywhere apparel, which is true, goes from the boardroom to boxing class, courtroom, all over. New air collection for ladies, quick drying, antimicrobial fabric, no visible VP. L line guarantee, all backed by guess what, Adam?
Best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee.
Tommy John, and no adjustment needed, right, Gary?
That's absolutely right. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam right now for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off, only at TommyJohn.com, TommyJohn.com.
And this show's also brought to you by TrueCar and Change. The Way You Ink.com and Robin Hood as well. Robinhood.com. All right. So we promised to talk about Jussie Smollett. And let me just set Jussie Smollett.
Right.
Let me just set the table. So I got a ton of crap on Twittersville because, the Mark Garagos, if that guy were Gavin Newsom, you'd be sticking it to him and blah, blah. Blah. So there's a lot of that discussion. So I just told everyone, look, let's just settle this today, and we'll settle it today.
Exactly. I know. And why do they think? Well, I always thought that the part of the allure of maybe it's your ACS listeners as opposed to the Reasonable Doubt listeners, although I think that they share quite a number of overlap. But I've always thought that we always have a good, healthy discussion, don't you?
Mark is a wildly secure guy, and he is more than happy to entertain your thoughts that don't agree with his thoughts, and is never, you can't be offended. You're in the business of, you put yourself in a position where you have whole groups of high-priced folks that are smarter than I am disagreeing with you on an almost daily basis. So you can't be thin-skinned. And there shall be some of that is going to happen today because there's going to be some pushback from my end. But that doesn't – it doesn't make a difference. I don't know why people – it infuriates me that everyone is trying to get everyone to take a side on everything. I disagree – with people politically on things and on other matters, and it doesn't mean we're not friends and don't enjoy business together. So,
you know, it's interesting. The whole, I get a kick out of the people also on Twitter who can't quite figure out Kellyanne Conway and George Conway. And it's like, you know, it reminds me of what was the name of the woman who married to James Carville? And they used to go on and be wildly opposed politically, but yeah, by all accounts,
I keep
have
a Mary Matlin.
Matlin. I want to say Matlin, Matt Owl.
Yeah.
I say,
yeah.
But
no,
Matlin.
No,
right.
Madeline.
Madeline. Right.
Madeline. Right. I think famously she was chief of staff for some Republican
campaign director,
executive branch, right, and campaign director
for HW, and she worked for Reagan too.
Well, look no further than me. I mean, Lynette loves our kids, and I'm lukewarm. You know, we still get along. Agree to disagree. They're not all God's gifts.
Right. I don't understand why you have to necessarily. In fact, I've always thought the people that I get along with the best in the world are the people who do disagree with me. And it's not an echo chamber. It just that tends to be just the nature of the beast, I guess.
All right. Well, let's drill down on what we can drill down on.
Because there's so many. You want to set the table and then I'll add other stuff that I think is interesting.
Yeah. So I'll walk everyone through it as I see it or as I hear it. So without any time stamps or anything. But Jesse Smollett, he's gay. He's black. He's an actor. He's on Empire. He's getting a Subway sandwich at 2 a.m. in Chicago. Couple guys with MAGA hats jump on him, dump the bleach, the noose, and all that kind of stuff. As the days wear on, it's starting to appear that that story didn't go down the way it was initially reported. And they start looking into things. They find the Nigerian brothers, the weightlifting brothers. They end up pulling those guys in. They question those guys. They get another version of the story than Jesse told. And they now shift their focus to Jesse with the cooperation, presumably, of the Nigerian bodybuilding brothers. Then they put 16 counts, which seems like a lot by whoever you're rooting for. 16 counts seems like a lot. And then mysteriously, everything gets dropped. And Rahm Emanuel's and the police chief and everyone is outraged. I'm not sure why they didn't know what was going on, but they're outraged by it. And now they want Jesse to pay maybe $130,000 large for the time that was spent. The world is sort of outraged. The media's outraged, and Mark Garagus is getting plenty of that ire thrown his way.
By the way, Gary, can you pull up the tweet from Don Jr. yesterday where he was mocking Tina in my office?
I've got it here. It says, wow, I don't know whether to be upset or impressed with this level of stupidity. Jesse Smollett's lawyer says he thought the brothers were white because they were, quote, wearing makeup.
Yeah, so.
And then there's a picture of this guy in whiteface, right?
Correct. And it looks like a cartoon. Yeah. I mean, it looks like someone doing the Joker, like a black person doing the Joker.
It's a Wayne's Brother movie. All right, so.
Let me backfill some of this stuff.
Jesse's doing press conferences and he's talking about being innocent and everyone's outraged. So where are we?
So the interesting thing that happened just yesterday. The city is sending a bill for the costs of the investigation, which is $130,000 or something like that, even though the case was just dismissed. And in Illinois, you put up 10% of the bond. So his bond was $100,000, you put up $10,000. And so he forfeited the $10,000. And now they're saying on top of that, the city is saying they want $130,000. But the case was dismissed. And I think he's got no basis whatsoever. It's just kind of a grandstanding. I think what's really going on here, in my humble opinion, is that they decided once they looked at the evidence that they were going to lose at trial, that it was going to be a shit show. Now, remember, the police are the ones, and the mayor, Rahm Emanuel, who, by the way, is so unpopular that he didn't even run for re-election. It wasn't like he was termed out, as far as I know. And the chief of police serves at the pleasure of the mayor. So he's not long for this job world anyway. So I think they were, the reason that there was this kind of rush to file the charges initially was because they had the mayoral election the following Tuesday. And they wanted to announce this on the Thursday, and then they knew they were going to bring the R. Kelly prosecution on the Friday. So they had back-to-back, and the chief could look like a hero and be America's new sheriff or something like that. Now, then you have the 16 counts. So at this point, that's in the state's attorney's office. So you got the lawyers looking at it. I think one of the, ironically, this is the same police department and the same mayor who let the tape on Laquan McDonald not be released for the 16 shots. And I just couldn't believe in the first place that they had filed 16 counts coming off of such a kind of divisive 16-shot video that had caused so much strife and tension and divisiveness in the community. But they did it. But if you take a look at the disorderly conduct statute and read it as a strict constructionist, it's really difficult for them to prove the case, number one. Number two, this is what the facts are. The facts are that they, meaning the prosecution, approached us first after I did that appearance on CNN with Anderson Cooper. And I believe what I said was, and I'm sure they had been listening to Reasonable Doubt as well, because I had said there's a whale of a case against the two brothers. It sounds like they've got a good case, although the discovery I saw, you could make other arguments, I suppose, if you're representing the two brothers. But it's what I would call a strong case against the two brothers. They were in custody until the 47th hour, I believe. They were visited by the lawyer. Then all of a sudden, they decided to implicate Jesse. Well, you would hope under the law that for somebody who's supposedly implicating Jesse, that they would have what's called corroboration, because they are co-conspirators or they're accomplices, depending on how you want to phrase it. And corroboration means you just can't have somebody's word to say you did something. You got to have something else. And so after they filed the 16 counts and after we asked for the discovery, everything that was turned over to us did not support that they had any corroboration. Everything that I had said before about, when the police chief came out, he said, well, he did this because he was being written out of Empire. And I said, I'm on the phone with the production company and people at Fox. They've never been interviewed. They've never said he's being written out of Empire. In fact, he was basically, as reported to me, one of the two untouchable characters before this happened.
Well, he said he was doing it for the money and being written out of Empire.
Yeah, right. That was the second one. So he was doing it for the money, which was this $3,500 check. That was the chief's first thing. But then I had, obviously, my client's phone, and I knew what the text messages were, and I had it.
Let me stop for 1 second. The $3,500 was not the money the chief was talking about, right? He was talking about doing it for the money, meaning he thought he was going to be a bigger celebrity and ask for more money from Empire.
Correct and correct. He said he was doing it for the money, meaning that he didn't think he got paid enough at Fox or on Empire, which turned out not to be true. And by the way, I don't know what basis he had, because everybody I talked to from the production company on down said they were never interviewed, that we had never said that. So I don't know where he gets that from. I also had the $3,500 check that was made out to the brother, one of the guys who was in custody. And that clearly, when you viewed it with the text, that were going on when the check was written was for training and nutrition for a new music video that Jesse was doing. And he had gained, I want to say, 15 pounds or 17 pounds, and he was trying to lose the weight, and he was getting trained. So those two things didn't make sense to me at all. Then there was the fact that they kept saying he changed this story, he changed that story. I got the police reports. The police reports were consistent. And if Gary wants me to at one point, Tina is in the building here, and I can. She's got reports, and she could probably go through line by line. She's got it down pat. But it became apparent that much of what they said was not supported by the police reports. So I didn't know. Is this guy given a press conference and somebody gave him bad information, or is he giving a press conference and he didn't know the facts? Or what? So all I know is they approached us about dismissing it, and not the other way around, although I admittedly was very, very vociferous about the fact that it was a whale of a case against the two guys who were in custody, at least for a little bit, and that there was no corroboration. I wanted to see some corroboration.
Corroboration. I'm up very early on a flight from D.C. this morning. You want to. So we have the two Nigerian brothers, and it's their word, and there's no third party that can substantiate what they're saying. That's what you're saying?
That's correct. And it doesn't even have to be a third party. You would want, I mean, some other, whether it's direct evidence, which is could be a third party, circumstantial evidence that would support that he was in on this, anything that would support the fact. For instance, if they went back and got the surveillance tapes and buying of the items, then if Jesse was in the car waiting outside while they went inside and bought the items, that would be corroboration. If Jesse was on a text saying, I'll be at the market or at the subway at such and such a time, come jump me then, that would be corroboration. Instead, what they didn't tell anybody is that the guys texted him after the attack when it was announced on TV saying something to the effect, this is why I wish I had Tina here because she's got the reports in front of her, saying, hey, man, or hey, bro, heard what happened, hope you're okay, blah, 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 or something like that. Now, could you make the argument, oh, that was contrived to make so that if anybody got their phones, I suppose you could, but it certainly is not independent corroboration. It's the opposite. It's where there's two reasonable interpretations, the law says you pick the one that points towards innocence.
All right, I'm going to tease something and do a spot here, but here's what I'm going to tease, and I'll lay my cards on the table. I think the general consensus is this guy, Jesse Smollett, committed a hoax. He was not the victim of a hate crime. The hate crime was something that he concocted. But once you take a deep dive into the Chicago PD and all the things they've done that were incorrect or went against procedure and everything like that, they essentially cannot see this through to the end because they are going to be put on trial. And much like, you know, the OJ case where the crime scene was corrupted and no one wore booties and walked through the blood. And there's so much wrong with the procedure that it'll end up being them who ends up being put on trial for their methodology of sussing Jesse out in the situation. I'm going to tease that. And now you tell me if there's something about that is wrong. And also you teased last time we talked, you said that you have a theory and I've not heard that theory yet. All right. First, Brother Inkvestment Tank Printer happens to all of us right before a deadline or key presentation. The printer runs out of ink. Tired of the frequent expensive hassle of replacing ink cartridges. Brother Inkvestment Tank Printers, internal ink storage tank, larger ink cartridges, and intelligent page gauge. to display ink levels. They'll let you know right where you're at. It literally will change the way you think and the way you ink. Their color inkjet all-in-one printers deliver convenience, low cost per page, and affordability in uninterrupted printing for up to 2 years. And that ink is included in the box when you buy it, so don't sweat over your computer running out of ink. Learn more at changethewayyouink.com. That is changethewayyouink.com. All right, so the general consensus, including myself, is that Jesse was not a victim of crime. It was a hoax gone wrong, and then the cops screwed it up after the hoax went wrong. What's wrong about that statement?
Okay, but the why do you base it on a hoax gone wrong? Because maybe that's the best way to do it. Let me take each point by point and see if I can debunk them.
Okay. Well, I have sort of this doesn't hold up in court, but I have a sort of overall theory, which is if there was a guy who actually killed OJ's ex-wife and Ron Goldman, Goldman, the other's a CNN reporter or something.
The other one's there's two.
One's an actor.
And the other is a financier.
I think there was a reporter that was killed and
That was anyway. What's his name also.
All right,
the New York Times reporter.
We won't go sideways here. Okay. I have this theory that if those two guys in the MAGA hats, those two white guys existed, we would know who they were by now. Now, that doesn't win any court cases. I just have this feeling that we would know it by now. Secondly, all the things that were presented to me from the news that I watch suggest that the two Nigerian brothers perpetrated this. They're obviously black and they're not white. And also, if those two guys with those kind of traps and those kind of delts and biceps intentionally were trying to beat up a guy walking the streets at 2 a.m, there would be more physical damage on that person if they did it and with intent to harm. So pick your
part. I'll go first. I believe, and that's why I'm hoping that Tina will respond to the text I just did. I believe the first police report did not say white guys. I believe the first police report that was written, and I'll explain in a second why I'm saying first police report. The first report was asked, could you see what color they were? And he said, I could only see around the eyes, and it appeared pale. And that was what I think was on the first report. He also says in that report that he got in a good punch and he has trained as a boxer. So he is, I would say somebody who would think that this guy can't fight would be doing him a disservice. And you're a boxer and you're not, I would venture to say that you would be able to hold your own against somebody who is muscle bound because you're, as you well know, a lot of times if you're just a quick reaction, that can stun a opponent who is more muscle bound. Second of all, I don't think that this was anything more than, and I'm going to go to my theory later, but I haven't heard anything that makes me think it wasn't these two guys. I keep saying, I think it probably was. And that fits in with my theory, which goes back to you have to know more of the relationship between the younger brother and the older brother, and the fact that they were going back to Nigeria or had plans to go back to Nigeria. You have to know that Nigeria is homosexuality is outlawed in Nigeria still. I could be wrong about that, but that's what I've heard. And there are tweets of the older brother, who was not close to Jesse, they were taken down shortly after this, but what could only be cast as homophobic tweets There were also reports from people on the set that the older brother, who had acted as a extra in some scenes, had said, made some homophobic remarks as well on set. So that starts to give a flavor here.
Okay, so let's just...
So push back some more.
So the notion that there's a couple of white guys roaming around with MAGA hats is kind of off the table for anyone who thinks it's a hoax, and for you as well, and for law enforcement. Is that a safe statement?
I think that based on the reason I say they got a whale of a case, they've got the, I forget if it was Lyft, I think it was, they've got Lyft records that show where they were at a certain times and where they're dropped off. And so I think that that's a pretty, you know, that's circumstantial evidence that I think is pretty compelling, absent them saying something else that I don't know about that would tie them to the area right around that time.
So,
and I believe it was, if the attack was at 2 o'clock Central Time, I believe that they were there, dropped off sometime around 1:20.
So they said, now Jesse did an interview and I think said two white guys attacked me. So he did say white guys at some point, I do believe.
You know,
but maybe not in the police force.
Right. I have not parsed the interview at this point. I would have to take a look at it to see if he said two white guys at that point. All I know is that I did look at the police report, the discovery, so to speak, is what they turn over.
Well, this is a combination of the police report, what they did, and then Jesse and what he did. Now, Gary kind of believes he said two white guys, but either way, the noose around the neck for 45 minutes.
Well, hold on. Before we get to the noose around the neck, they have said that he did this because he wanted the publicity, right? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Something to that effect. Okay. The police report accurately, and I knew this, and I don't think people did, so I understand why the public gets misinformation. The police report correctly, at least based on what I was told and the interviews that we did, states that he did not want to call the police, and he told the guy who he first met with, I do not want to call the police, and that guy, who I will not name right now, but it's in the police report, and I'm sure you can figure it out by looking online, because I think they did a document dump. But that is the person that called police, and he confirmed Jesse asked him not to.
So that flies in the face of the stunt to get publicity, because if you're not going to call the police, then presumably, and I'm guessing what I'm inferring from what you're saying is someone could say, well, he could go on Twitter and talk about it, but if you don't contact the police after a crime and then you go on to discuss the crime, then you're going to get into some scrutiny. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Why would you, if this was an attempt to garner publicity, wouldn't the first thing you do is to call the police?
I don't have a
crystal ball. Obviously, in many situations, people do many different things. But if you're out there saying that he did this to get publicity or because he wanted more attention from the because remember, at one point also there was the rumor or the, and I don't know if this was the chief or somebody else, I just remember it became part of the urban legend, that he also didn't feel like the threat, the envelope that got sent to the production company, got enough attention. Well, when I talked to the people who received it at the production company, when we had the investigator do it, it was quite the contrary. He didn't want any attention to it. He didn't want anything. He was resistant to that. So I kept getting these urban legends, and then when I would follow up on it, there was no support for it. That, to me, is always the earmark of something else going on, so to speak.
All right. So is your conclusion that the Nigerian brothers committed the attack, but were not in on it?
Meaning were not, that he was not in on it, is my conclusion.
Jesse wasn't.
And Jesse wasn't. Another thing that becomes apparent is when they put together the case and they identified these guys, the cops did, they wanted Jesse to file or sign a complaint. Can you hear me?
I can hear the cops. Yeah.
There you come. They're coming right now.
You know, when you're in New York, for those of you who haven't been to New York, you can be on the 32nd floor of a building, and when a cop car goes down that street, it is like they're driving through your goddamn living room. Sorry.
Exactly right.
Go ahead.
The idea that somehow he was seeking publicity is belied by all of the reports. I mean, he was not seeking publicity. He didn't want it. He was somewhat embarrassed by it. And obviously, I think if he had to do it over again, he wouldn't even have done an interview. And there's also facts that are in those police reports that are somewhat disturbing. Somebody did a Freedom of Information Act request, and police reports that were released were created after the indictment, dated after the indictment. And then which I find just incomprehensible. How do you do an indictment and you don't have the reports upon which to base it? So that seems really odd to me.
Well, is this a fair statement, Mark? Most, you know, I don't have a lot of experience with this, but I think about the OJ case, especially being in Los Angeles. Most police reports or cases would not hold up well to the scrutiny of some well-trained sharks like yourselves, right? Or Johnny Cochran, whomever.
One of the problems with the criminal justice system as we have it is that there is a disproportionate amount of power that is vested in law enforcement. Law enforcement has, you know, name the last politician who got voted out of office because he wanted to expand the footprint of law enforcement. I mean, you're always going to be reelected if you're in law enforcement, whether that's a prosecutor or a cop or anything else, as long as you're saying, I want to throw more resources in it, I want to do this. I mean, it's only recently that we've had this idea of the pendulum swinging back. So, and I say that because on the defense side, you're woefully overworked. I mean, the most public defenders who do, you know, in my opinion, God's work, they're representing indigent people, are so overworked and overloaded, and a lot of times having to deal with people with systemic mental health problems, that it's a miracle that they make it through the day. In fact, it's one of the reasons public defenders get so beaten down after doing this work for so long.
So let's continue with the narrative. So the two Nigerian brothers know where Jesse Smollett is going at 2 a.m.?
Yes. And that was because he was texting. They were supposed to meet and train that evening. And he gets delayed and he's on the tarmac. And I forget if he was on the tarmac in New York or in Chicago, but one of the places, and he's delayed. And he was delayed for, I want to say, 4 hours. And during those 4 hours, he's texting. And as recently as, I want to say, an hour and a half before, and they're telling him, and if you take a look at the text, and I'm sure that that's already been revealed, you'll see that it was not hard to decipher where he was going to be and what time. So that, to me, explains how they knew and why they knew. And hold on for just 60 seconds. You know why? Because TrueCar. It's exactly how long this commercial lasts. You know what else you can do in about a minute? You can ask me a question and get an offer from your car with TrueCar. That's right. And the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups or a plank, or just listen to my voice, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or home. Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number. Watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions. You'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring your car in. They'll check it out with you together. You can ask questions and get the answers you need, so there's absolutely no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or your trade-in for your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True, T-R-U-E, Car, C-A-R.
So what about the motive of the brothers? Because
okay, so
the gay bashing, I mean, it's a little thin. I'd like there to be a little more in the motive department.
I wonder if I've gotten client permission to reveal two things. Maybe Tino will text me back and I'll find out if I've got client permission to reveal two pieces of information that were pretty good here. Let's call, let's see. Do I have, I'm going to ask client permission to reveal. Because the, you can see where I think I'm headed.
Well, we've narrowed it down to is it's not two white guys. It's two Nigerian brothers. They had some kind of relationship going into this. The one brother you said made some homophobic slurs, but who hasn't dropped an F-bomb a time or two in their life? It doesn't mean I'm going down to Oil Can Harry's and opening a can of whoop-ass. Don't ever go to Oil Can Harry's and open a can of whoop-ass. That is a bad day. So still kind of curious what their motives would be
That the younger brother did end up spending the night at Jesse's house close in time to when this attack took place. I'll leave it at that.
There's a relationship.
I'm just going to leave it at that. And
I think it was Rosie O'Donnell was just talking about a book with came out the book and was talking about fighting with what's her name? Hasselbeck. Hasselbeck. Right. And then at some point said, I think I had a kind of a crush on her simultaneously while we were arguing. So there's possibly a physical sexual component to this that nobody's really brought up thus far.
I don't want to be a guy to speculate. I haven't talked to either of these guys, and I certainly have not talked to or counseled them in any way. But I'm just putting what I know together, and I could spin a motive out of that is my belief, and so. Those are the things I know. And I find it somewhat odd that there's no corroboration that they were in custody for 47 hours. And then in the 48th hour, all of a sudden they're released. And by the way, there's another problem with what happened within the grand jury that I think is a systemic problem. And
in
I'm
Chicago.
Not describing in Chicago. And so I'm not ascribing any, you know, contrary to what everybody else says, a prosecutor, if he thinks he can't prove a case beyond a reasonable doubt, has got an ethical duty to not take the case to trial. And I think that, you know, while they could believe that they could bring a case at a certain point, it might have, and they didn't say this to me, but I did find a quote somewhere online where one of the prosecutors said they thought the case may end up in an acquittal. And if you have some serious doubts as to the way a case was brought or that there was another logical or reasonable, I guess is the laws, another reasonable interpretation, even if it isn't the most unreasonable, that's the definition of reasonable doubt.
There's also a sort of conspiracy theorist Michelle Obama connection. Obama's from Chicago. Obama's somebody's making a phone call and saying, help a brother out. What do you say to that?
You know, I have no knowledge of that. I know what I've read. I think the woman who they say talked to Kim Fox, who is the state's attorney, was Tina Chen, and that she asked that the FBI take a look at it. I will tell you, based on what I've seen by this chief of whatever, I think he's properly called a superintendent of police, a superintendent of police, and Chicago's reputation, that police department's reputation, I believe they're under a federal consent order. I believe that they are notorious, and they're coming off the heels of the Laquan McDonald case, which was not their finest hour or any law enforcement agency's finest hour. And I don't know that it's a—I mean, you can always spin the conspiracy theory, but my guess would be that somebody was worried that they were going to do some or pull some other kind of a stunt. Now, did that turn out to be the case? That press conference that the superintendent gave both on the day of the arrest and the bond hearing and on the day after the case was dismissed with Rahm Emanuel flies in the face of every ethical thing you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to go out there and say somebody's guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. You're not supposed to go out there like Rahm Emanuel did and say, I'm going to bill him for this, or I'm going to bill him for that, or I'm going to have my brother, Ari Emanuel, make sure he never works in Hollywood again. You're not supposed to have a state senator almost laughably, from a constitutional standpoint, say that you're not going to get tax credits in Illinois if you employ Jesse Smollett when a case has been dismissed. I mean, at a certain point, even people who may not be convinced by what the evidence is have got to say to themselves, what the hell is going on here? And what is the motivation for Rahm Emanuel and this police chief or police superintendent? And yesterday when the president tweeted that he was going to ask the FBI and the DOJ to investigate, I said, look, they're already under consent order. Have whoever's running the department overseeing the department ask what the hell happened in the first place that allows the superintendent to violate virtually every prohibition against presumption of guilt at the start of a proceeding.
Why, if you're going to drop this case, why was there no, don't you feel like you'd talk to the mayor or let his office know or give him a heads up? How come there wasn't that communication? I don't know how it normally works, but if I'm making the decision to drop the case, I feel like I communicate that to the police superintendent and certainly Rahm Emanuel's office, right?
I don't know that I'm not in the weeds on the Illinois structure, but let me, by example, give you L.A. The L.A. District Attorney, Jackie Lacey, is elected countywide by the voters. So it's an elective office. The mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti, is a city office and is also elected. The police chief in Los Angeles serves at the pleasure of the mayor. I believe it's the same kind of setup. The state's attorney is elected in Illinois. The mayor appoints the police chief. The mayor is also an elected official, but the state's attorney is directly elected. The DA in Los Angeles, I would presume, would not clear charging decisions with the mayor. And in fact, I would think the opposite would counsel or that you should do just the opposite and do what was done here. You shouldn't consider the political implications. Your job as a prosecutor is to do the right thing. And if you feel like the case cannot be proven beyond a reasonable doubt, you dismiss it. That's that's the difference in the obligation of a prosecutor and a defense lawyer. A defense lawyer is supposed to zealously defend his client. The prosecutor is supposed to seek justice. If the prosecutor's got a problem with his case for a variety of reasons, and I do not for a minute pretend to know what was going on in the prosecutor's mind. But I will tell you that I could talk for hours about why I think that there were problems in their case, systemic problems in their case that were insurmountable.
Well, what would be the case?
How were they ever going to prove that if they didn't do everything they were supposed to do in the grand jury? If they didn't have any independent corroboration? If they took a look at the statute and realized you couldn't charge the statute the way they charged it? Those are the kinds of things that that a prosecutor has to grapple with.
Well, why? I guess I'll play devil's advocate to my devil's advocate, which is, I don't know if anyone's ever asked this question. I mean, there's a lot of theories, but why would you drop a case, a high profile case? Why would you drop it as a prosecutor if you thought you could win it? I'm looking at Gary. Gary, you know your way around the law. I mean, I'll turn it the other way around, which is, why would you drop that case that's high profile, knowing it's going to cause this outrage, if you thought you could win the case?
Well,
hold on a second. Sorry.
We have an internet problems. Hold on a second.
Yeah. All right. So I know that sounds outrageous to a lot of people, but I don't know.
Mark, you still there?
I'm here.
Oh. Okay. I think the only reason that you would abandon the case is if you were fairly certain you're going to lose or be embarrassed.
This is outside of Michelle Obama conspiracy theories.
Right, just on the surface of it. I think you would have to know that you got some dirt in your case, and you're going to either come up looking foolish or not win, or only win a little, only win one count and take a PR hit, you know, type of thing.
So, yeah, I guess I was just turning everyone's argument back at them, which is, why do you drop a case if you think you're going to win?
I've got a horrible connection.
Or why don't we call you back or bring you back?
Would you call me back?
I'll do a spot and put him on hold for a second. where was I? Robinhood. Robinhood's an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there is a no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level, and you can do it right away. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections, such as 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market and build your portfolio. Discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss out on the right move to invest and the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of Reasonable Doubt a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at doubt.robinhood.com. That is doubt.robinhood.com. All right. Mark is back up with hopefully a better connection. Can you hear me?
I can hear you beautifully, man.
All right. So let's summarize and encapsulate here. One of the Nigerian brothers had spent the night at Jesse's apartment at some point before the attack. Is that correct?
Correct. That's correct.
And so there could have been a relationship there, which then starts spinning us off into other motives.
Well, I think that somebody could perceive that there was a relationship. Somebody could perceive a lot of things, I suppose, and then you know, you go on your merry way. I'm not going to spin it any more than that because I haven't gotten permission to reveal something else. But that scenario, what I have seen, makes infinitely more sense than any of this other stuff that I've seen, just from a proving a problem of proof analysis. I mean, it makes very little sense to me that the Kim Fox was getting it dismissed, because if you take a look at the timeline,
she was the state's attorney. Recused herself.
She was the state's attorney who said she recused herself. And I will tell you that she had no communications with the defense that I'm aware of. It's not been reported to me. The people who were doing the talking and doing the negotiating, so to speak, on at any point on discovery and everything else, was not her, and she wasn't in the mix. She didn't appear in court. I think her number two or number three person was the one who was leading the charge on this case. And the idea that somehow they're going to that a call prior to all of this was going to stop them, it obviously didn't do a good job. I mean, that's what's crazy. The call that was supposedly made was made prior to his, to this happening. It wasn't after this all happened. If that call actually had any effect, the logical conclusion would be it caused them to rush to file charges and rush after filing charges to go indict him on 16 counts. So that doesn't, it just makes no sense to me whatsoever.
So, and with your theory of what actually transpired, then the video footage of the brothers buying rope and buying ski masks or whatever sort of null and void, because they would have done that anyway, whether there's collusion or not.
Correct. It's interesting. Just, I always thought that for the same people who have a problem on the, you know, because the left has a problem with this because they feel like, you know, one of their own has betrayed them or something or set back the cause. I understand that because the left always cannibalizes itself. But the right, the people on the right who don't buy into this, you know, how do you consistently talk about no collusion, no corroboration with in terms of Trump, and at the same time jump on the Jesse is a hoax bandwagon? That's what I mean. There's a disconnect there because there are very, very structural similarities between the two arguments.
Well, one had Mueller do a 2-year dive into it, and he hasn't come back with anything. That's what
correct.
They would say. So this is all taking a very interesting twist for me. What about the federal?
Is the interesting twist where your mind is wandering to?
Well, you know, I mean, Mark, I mean, once again, there's enough floating around in my dream catcher that I can't. I think. With certain cases or certain discussions, you try to just sort of pick a target and stick to the target. And if you introduce enough planets in the galaxy, you stop being able to focus on the one target. And the whole part about the possible relationship component of this is definitely added a few more stars in my galaxy and my dream catcher for me to lie awake at night and stare at the ceiling. Federal charges. They're talking about federal charges for the letters and the aspirin or the Tylenol that's crushed up and the this and that. Where are we at with that?
I do not believe that they will. It's interesting whether they'll make a formal announcement that they're closing it because, you know, that DOJ's got policies on that. But the rumor was earlier this week, and it's only a rumor. I didn't talk to the U.S. attorney this week who's assigned to the case. But the rumor from a couple of reporters was that they had closed or were about to close the federal investigation. Now, albeit that was before Trump tweeted, and his tweet was directed at the to investigate why the charges were dismissed. And I'm fine with that. I wish they would, and I wish they would expand it to President Trump can relate to this, why they were brought in the first place. The same guy who wants to talk about the Steele dossier and the provenance of the Steele dossier, I'd like to know why they why this case was pushed and why it was pushed in such a what I consider to be unusual way initially. And was that for electoral shenanigans, as I suspect?
Well, pardon me, but the letters and the crushed up Tylenol or whatever that was in it that was sent to the offices of Empire, the set of Empire, is that connected to Jesse? I mean, I know it's connected, but did somebody figure out he crafted those? Where are we at with that? I don't know.
No, I don't think they have. In fact, if I had to guess, and it'd be pure speculation again, the FBI has probably got that envelope run through its lab, and they probably looked for fingerprints, and they probably looked for DNA trace evidence, and they probably looked for any other kind of trace evidence. They probably taken samples and compared them on, you know, there were stamps and there was glue and there was cut out pieces of paper. So you would presume that unless somebody wore gloves, that you would be able to get some kind of a latent print off of either the paper itself, off the envelope itself, or off of the drawings. Or if, for instance, you seized something, magazines, during a search and pages were missing and you went back and saw what was on those pages, and if it matched up with the letters that are on there, you could infer from that. So there's a lot of investigation.
Well, wasn't that a report that they found the magazines in his apartment?
There was reports.
They found magazines on the return, I believe, of the search warrant.
I believe I read reports that they had confiscated a bunch of magazines from the brother's apartment.
Oh, the Correct. Brother's apartment.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
It's yeah, tougher I think
to help a brother out.
Isn't.
The brothers. So it's always going to be. So did they do it with the help of, or was there pre-existing knowledge? So you think the federal thing's going to go away as well? How about you and CNN? Any Avenatti updates?
I wish I could wade into that, but I can't right now. I can talk about CNN. One of the great ironies of this week, as you know from the ACS show that we did, is that the phone has been blowing up all week because now they're on 24/7 Smollett watch, especially when the president and the president's son tweeted. So I have had great, I've taken a great amount of, I suppose, satisfaction with the fact that I politely decline and then sometimes don't so politely decline their invitations to go onto their network. And I let Tina go do Anderson. When I say I let her, I didn't prohibit it. She can do whatever she wants. She can handle herself. But after that, they wanted her for New Day. They wanted her for a couple of the other shows. And I told her I thought it would be better if she would explore Fox and their affiliates. Somebody else today sent me a article I had completely forgotten about.
Tina was the lead lawyer.
Yeah, right. From our office.
Yes,
Tina Glandier. Somebody had sent me do you remember Richard Quest, the anchor at CNN?
Sounds familiar.
There's an article, maybe Gary can pull it up, from 2008. And I didn't. It's a different CNN now because he was found with a noose around his neck and methamphetamine in Central Park and arrested. And that did not seem to affect his CNN career.
Yeah, he had a noose, he had a sex toy in his boot, and a bag of meth in his jacket pocket.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Party with
and
that
what
guy.
I was going to say, that's a good time. He was just going back to his hotel. And wasn't that disorderly conduct as well?
He was initially arrested for loitering, but then I believe, yeah, it came down.
Well,
this article doesn't say what they ultimately charged him for.
Last question for you, Mark, just from a guy, an atheist who doesn't have too many dogs in the fight. What's in it for CNN? Here's what I know. I know people get rid of people or they cut ties with people when it's convenient. So when Megyn Kelly's getting bad ratings on her daytime talk show and then says, well, I don't get what's wrong with blackface. We all did it when we were kids. If she's getting gangbuster ratings, you slap her on the hand and you move forward. If you want to clip her because the ratings are bad, then there's your opening. Why would CNN want to clip you over something that's not been proven? It's not been, you've not had your day in court. It's very sketchy what's going on. Many of the details are not available. Why would they do that?
I have no idea, but I will tell you, I forget what publication it was. They said Corolla Digital stood tall. What publication
was
that?
It was Forbes.
Forbes came through and said Corolla Digital stood tall.
I couldn't shit can Mark. He'd sue my ass. All right, a good note to go out on, my friend.
Yes,
we will see you in person hopefully soon. You can check out Not Taco Bell Material. That's my stand-up special. Thank you very much on Chassis and iTunes and Amazon. And get it and give it a rate and give it a watch and give it a share. I got live shows coming up all over the place. Go to amkroll.com/events. San Francisco and Sacramento and Brea and Denver. Mark, plugs?
I'm in New York, so Prova in Grand Central Terminal. Also in Times Square. We've got next month opening up the Capri in Southampton. We've got the V Palm Springs, which is really hopping right now. Casa Tropicana in San Clemente, 10E Mediterranean Tapas downtown, Engine Company downtown, and at Terminal 8 at LAX.
So, until next time, Adam Kroll for Mark Garagus saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. Corolla Digital.